You're listening to Locked On Cavaliers, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And joining me now is my good friend, Dylan Stewart from Cleveland Magazine. You can find him on Twitter at DillStew. Dill, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, not too much. Just hanging out, ready to talk some Cavs.
Well, so we're recording this on Sunday, January 6th. We're in the first weekend now where there's no Browns, and the Cavs are the sports team in Cleveland right now, unless you're like a diehard Monsters fan, which salute to you if you're like one of like 100 people or whatever that are real into that. But we're going
to
talk
about... I did go to a Monsters game last night.
How was it? Was it a good time? I have not been to a Monsters game.
It was a really good time. They lost, I think, 6-1. Or maybe 6-2. So it was not a fruitful experience, but I did have a good time. It was a real good time.
Might be less depressing than going to a Cavs game right now, but we're going to get into the Larry Nance, and he was originally featured in Cleveland Magazine, so we're going to talk about that. But still, the first Sunday without the Browns, the first weekend without Browns football and nothing really else on your palate, was it weird for, as someone who's like a diehard Cleveland sports fan, was it weird for you that that's like what your reality was this weekend?
I think what was weirder for me was actually feeling the hole, you know, actually feeling like I was disappointed that the season was over and not feeling like we had finally, because for a few years there, it really just felt like we were just trying to get through the end of the season. You know, tomorrow we're going to come up on a year since the perfect season parade, the epic walk of shame around Cleveland Browns Stadium. And, you know, we were in the whole situation, like playing for that one win or whatever. And, you know, that was tough to watch. So you kind of got to a point where you were just ready for it to be over. And so, yeah, I think that was what was weirder than anything, just having that feeling where I was just really thirsty or hungry for more, and I wasn't getting it. So I'm pumped to see what they can do this off season, and you know, from there on out.
Give me your Browns head coaching top candidate. If you could hire anybody, who are you hiring?
That's tough. That's tough for me. I mean, I'm gonna throw you a curveball here. I kind of like Greg Williams. He did a lot for them.
This has been the Monday, January 7th episode of Locked On Cavaliers. Dylan has been I get it. No, continue. I get it. I get that take. That's not my. That's not what I would do. But I also have like a very specific thing I would be doing.
What would you be doing?
It's all about Baker. It's literally just all about Baker. I first off would have taken all of the Haslam's money and just like paid Lincoln Riley whatever he wanted. But obviously since he's staying in Oklahoma, I think I'd hire Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah, I like that move too. I like that move a lot. It always felt like it was gonna be more like Greg Williams was more the front runner for me. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like those guys stepped in, and if some things go a little bit differently, it really could have really turned that team into a playoff team. So, you know, I think that there's something to be said about that. I think Baker obviously seems to be clicking with Freddie Kitchens, you know, I'd be really happy with either of those hires.
All right, so let's get into Larry Nance. So he was featured in the Cleveland Magazine annual Most Interesting People issue. You can read the interview Dylan did with Larry Nance by clicking the link down in the show notes. You can also go pick up the print copy wherever they sell Cleveland Magazine Hour. Subscribe to it, do it, support local journalism. So for me, reading this interview, and also this is basically from interacting with him and covering him as someone covering the team and seeing him in the locker room and everything, it struck to me how normal he is. Like, he is obviously like a representative of a very small portion of the population because he is 6'9", can jump really high, makes millions of dollars to play basketball. But he just seems like a normal dude. Like, him talking about how he fell in love with a cowgirl who like lived on a farm and like loved America and shot guns, and like how he like his family like gave like beat like dude office related t-shirts for as a gift because like they built Beats, grew up on a Beats farm. Like he just seems like just a normal guy, and honestly, like he's the only player who like Colin Sexton does it sometimes, but he doesn't dress up. Like he wears like Adidas sneakers and like a hoodie or like a Columbus Crew jersey out of games. Like he doesn't dress up. He doesn't like have the Jordan Clarkson drip. He's just a normal guy, and I don't know if that came across to you in talking to him, but to me, that's always been the thing about Larry Nance that it just makes him sort of different than a lot of other guys that are playing professional basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was part of what really we were really drawn to with him is and I think that there's a lot there. He's from around here. He's a Cleveland boy, went to Revere High School, kind of grew up in the Akron Richfield area. Obviously his dad was in the NBA, so that's not the most not that he came from like a blue collar black background or anything, but I do think that this area tends to create down to earth people, and he certainly seems to be one of them. Once he finally comes down to earth and sits down in front of you, you don't really know that you're talking to an NBA player. And the other thing with that too is not only is he from around here, but he wasn't one of these guys. I think a lot of these guys, they know or at least have a feeling that their trajectory is going to be at least shooting for the NBA. And I think that goes for a lot of sports. They know that they're going for that professional track. And he wasn't really like that. He didn't really discover basketball, or not that he didn't discover basketball, but he really didn't get serious about playing basketball until high school, when he went through this growth spurt. He was a freshman. When he was a freshman, he was 5'11", and by senior year, he was 6'7". I mean, so he really didn't. It wasn't one of these guys, I think, that came up expecting to be a star, and or even maybe feeling like a star, And in fact, he even grew up playing soccer instead of basketball. So I think a lot of those things kind of contributed to him just being a super, super down-to-earth person. And yeah, your assessment of him is 100% spot
Yeah, him wearing a Jazzy Zardes jersey was just like my
on.
LOL like moment after a game. And if I was the Columbus Crew, I would be like bringing him to a game. Like, just be smart about your marketing. Do that. What was he just like for you as an interview? I find him to be like, he'll say sometimes interesting things. He'll say like some things that are very endearing more than anything. But what was he like to you as an interview and someone like that was be like he clearly knows that this is going to be he's being labeled a most interesting person for like a magazine a lot of people are going to see, and he's one of the people that are on one of the cover options that people could have gotten in the mail or buy in the store. Like, how was he just in handling that type of limelight?
Sure. So, the cover shoot, so we kind of combined the cover shoot and the interview just really to save his time more than anything. He's doing this for us on a day off and everything. So the cover shoot, he was very uncomfortable. We have a great photographer, Angelo Marandino, who shoots all these profiles, and he's really great at helping people feel more comfortable, come out of their shell and stuff. But for a guy who gets his picture taken quite a bit, Larry Nance is not somebody who is very comfortable with it. So we played. He requested either rap music or country music. We went with the country music. I think that was a little bit of the Wyoming coming out in him. And I think over time, especially when we threw a basketball in his hand, he loosened up. But it wasn't until he came off of that cover shoot and we sat down and got to talking that he really opened up. And once he did, he is just so polite and so well spoken and so gracious and willing to, I talked to him a little bit about them being in a rebuilding, kind of a rebuilding year, he really dug into that with me, comparing it to his time with the Lakers after Kobe and everything like that. He was really, he was willing to go there with you, where I think you get some of these guys that you're getting some of those one word answers and stuff like that. So, yeah, I really enjoyed talking to him. It was kind of a crazy scene during that cover shoot. I walked in, and the first person I see in the media room is Rachel Nichols standing there barefoot, getting makeup done, getting ready to shoot a spot with Richard Jefferson and K Love. The mini K Love picture was floating around everywhere, and it was a kind of a chaotic scene, and I think that led to some of his him feeling a little bit uncomfortable. But once he opened it up, it was a really great guy to talk to.
Yeah, I find him to be very insightful when he really wants to be. So what we'll wrap this first segment up on this question. So he is part of a group, I think, of players that I think the Cavs would like to have as part of their building block. So it's him. I think Jetty Osmond is there. I think Colin Sexton's there. I think Kevin Love is being very much pushed as the face of the franchise right now, understandably. But he could be traded, et cetera, Tristan as well. He mentioned Sexton and Jetty specifically as something Cavs fans should hold on to in what is increasingly a bad season. And since you talked to him, based on the last two games, it's only gotten worse. Like, it has only become more dire and less hard to watch. But for you as someone who is, I know, and anyone who's listened to you and I talk before on this podcast knows you're more of a Browns fan, more of a casual Cavs fan. Is he in a group of players that is actually that, like, based on what he does on the court, do you think he can, like, drive people to at least care a little bit? Like, what he's doing, can that drive someone like you into actually caring and being invested in the team to some degree?
No.
I mean, I think that's a fair answer. I think that's a reasonable
Yeah,
answer.
no, I mean, he's just not like, for me, it's a lot of the off the court things. I mean, all the things he does, raising money for Crohn's, with his own history, and all of those things are very endearing. He's an endearing guy. I love having him in Cleveland, but he just it just doesn't feel like he's got the splash, I think, to draw some of the non really like the basketball the people who aren't really basketball heads, the people who are just Cleveland fans. I don't know that he really has it. Sure. Do I want to see some interviews with him? Do I want to hear what he has to say? Do I love that, like we were talking a little bit about, he really wanted Josh Allen rather than Baker Mayfield. Like, that's endearing to me. I love all that off the court stuff.
Yeah,
But in
the
terms of,
Wyoming connection there, obviously.
right, thank you. But in terms of, him really being that player that makes that big splash on the court, I don't know. At least with this current lineup, maybe if there's another player who could maybe he could play off of a little bit better. But yeah, right now I don't know that that's going to draw the non-basketball Cleveland fan.
If he could have someone that could just throw lobs to him more successfully, it would make a huge difference.
Yeah, I mean, he's so big,
And he
and
just like he can he gets up like when he, even when he's
for
like if you
sure.
watch the end of play sometimes where he just like lets off a dunk, his arm is like well above the rim. Like he's and he was in the dunk contest last year. Like if they just had
Yeah.
someone that could throw him lobs and they were more competent, like they would be he I think if he could do that and just be like the highlight guy on the team, there'd be value there. Or if he like at the three pointers were landing more, or if like he was having more success like dribbling the ball up the floor. Like there's little things that I think that could get him there, but it in the context of the team, it's just not like breaking through because I just don't know if the ceiling for him in those areas is like high enough to like break him through in that way.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot, and I think we need to talk about it in the context of this year. Like, is he going to be the thing that pushes this team into the watchable range?
There's maybe nothing that could do that. Like it's maybe Kevin Love. It's
Exactly.
like maybe Kevin Love coming back and making this giving them structure and like making everyone better because he's by far the best player on the team.
Yeah, it really sucks to right now to just watch this team, like, even be in games and then just fall apart and just, completely give up, and just feel like it's not, you know, just completely fall out of the games like that. And I think you're right. I think the Kevin Love loss is huge. That would getting him back maybe soonish, but not that soonish is but when he comes back, that's going to be much needed.
We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with more of Dylan and I talking on this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. So stay tuned. And if you want to listen to Locked On Cavaliers in a different way, just go to your smart speaker and say, "Listen, hey Alexa," or if you have a Google Home, and just say, "Hey, either play Locked On Cavaliers," it'll do it. And do that. Stay tuned for more of this episode. Okay, and we are back. So Dylan, I'm just going to give you a broad question for this next segment. Do you have absolutely any fun watching this Cavs team and where they are at right now?
Right now, no, not really. I mean, sure, it's fun to throw on and stuff like that, but in terms of we talked a little bit earlier about the Browns season ending. Football's still on. I mean, I just watched Mitch Trubisky. He should have won. He should have won that game against the Eagles. It came down to the last second kick that went off the upright. But no, it's not fun to watch. I mean, if you go back to like Kyrie's first season, I mean, they were 19. They had 19 wins that season. But at the same time, you're watching Kyrie do incredible things. I mean, you're really watching like the birth of greatness with Kyrie that season. Crazy layups, game winners against the Celtics, you know, and a season that culminates in him being the unanimous rookie of the year, unanimously voted rookie of the year. I mean, that was the saving grace that season. I think we kind of thought Sexton would give us that. I think we kind of thought having Love would at least make us competitive in some of these close games and stuff like that. But it just doesn't seem to be there at all, and it's tough to watch. It's really tough to watch.
It's not there. You know, it's somewhat the system. You know, it's somewhat the lack of Kevin Love. It is like Jetty being sort of miscast and Ed being asked to do too much. It is, you know, them being having a lot of injuries. Like it is having, it is like with Colin Sexton in particular, I think there is like a useful player in there and like a fun player in there and a good, maybe a good player in there. But like when his one, when like basically defenses have adapted to him and have dared him to shoot these mid-range shots and like his three-point shooting is, you know, very inconsistent and like, he's not doing the other things that sort of like make you feel like optimistic about it. It's not like fun, and they're just like bad at everything, right? Like it's like they have a bottom 10 offensively. They have the worst defensive rating in the league, and if this holds up the whole year, it will be the worst defense since like based on the data you can track at NBA.com. Like it will be that bad of a defense. They don't have chances to win games. If they get to a third quarter and they're winning against a team like they were on Friday against the Jazz, like they blow it and they just don't win games. And like you can like look at like I as someone who like is needy, who's watching this night tonight, will like look at little small things and be like, okay, this little wrinkle is good, like this is a good adaptation. Like I give them, there's like little stuff like that I notice. But if I were like you, or like it's someone that's just generally there, I could very much understand like checking out. I get it. It's not fun. It's like they're going to lose by a lot. You sort of know the outcome. You're going to get the push alert on your phone and you're going to move on. And if you go to a game, like there were more people there at the Jazz game, like it was pretty full and I was surprised by that. And they're really cheap right now, like you can still have fun. They do a good job of trying to keep it a lively atmosphere. But it's not
For
like it's like
sure.
fun to watch like that as a product. It's not like it's like fun and you know you're going to see like at least four good things or make some money. Like if I was just gonna buy a ticket, I would just go based on when I know I wanted to see a certain player. Like when Dirk comes to town in the month, I would buy a ticket for that because it's maybe Dirk's it'll be Dirk's last game in Cleveland. That's where it is.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, and they certainly do a good job of. I was at a game a couple weeks ago, and they do a good job of you know, making the experience that, but. You know, and it's got to be it doesn't help that we're coming off LeBron.
No,
You know,
not at all.
you you go, you're, the price of admission comes with LeBron. I mean, LeBron. It comes with huge dunks. I mean, crazy plays. You're not getting any of that now. I mean, you're more likely to see, what was that? Was it the Channing? You're more likely to see Channing Frye throw the ball to the sideline than you are to see a LeBron James level dunk. And so, yeah, no, it's really tough to watch. And I think you're really seeing the Cavs. I think you're just, as sad as it seems or sounds, you're really going to see them reassume their natural position as the third most popular franchise in this town. Because I mean, the Indians are losing pieces in a weird spot, but still have, you know, a lot of pieces that Clevinger, Bauer, you know, a lot of pieces that are still that still make them really exciting.
And as a social event, it is much like probably, I would guess, in a vacuum for me, I would say more fun to like go to a ball game and like get a beer and like eat some of like the local food you can get there and like just have like a more relaxing, chill Saturday. As because Cavs games are like dialed up to 11. Like they are
For
like you are
sure.
going in for a very heavy sensory experience that baseball just isn't. And there's something really like attractive about that.
Yeah, it's loud in there too. I don't know why I was taken aback by that recently.
I wear earplugs. Because it just I can't do it. I just
I
like
don't blame
I
you.
need to like I'm trying to I have like earplugs people wear that when I was doing work on my house, like I took them because it just like when people you wear them when I was like sanding stuff. That's what I'm using in games because it's just too loud in there. I'm like 90 though, like
Do they
spiritually,
like
so
make do the other media members like make fun of
no,
you,
because
like throw stuff at you?
no, but because like when a guy from the New York Times, the great Scott Cacciola, was just literally wearing Bose headphones and I asked him about it and he said I'm not even listening to the game or anything, I just like I'm sick of the noise. He just literally had a
Yeah.
pair of Bone soundproof headphones on in the game because the noise is too much. It is frankly too much, so like
Yeah,
just turn it
it's
down to like
pretty
eight.
ridiculous. It's pretty ridiculous, especially you know, that level intensity might work with a LeBron James
it's
team,
it's it's
but
not the same when like it's a Jordan Clarkson spread isolation play at the end of the first half. It's just not the same vibe.
right. But I mean, and then I think, you know, even going back to the Browns, I feel like every time I hop on here, we talk more Browns than we do Cavs. But I mean, even the off-season stuff is going to be far more interesting than anything that's going on w with the Cavs right now, in my opinion. And you know, I think you're just seeing these teams shuffle back to where they were originally, which is Browns, Indians, Cavs.
So let's say a year from now, the Cavs, let's say they take, let's say they don't get Zion, because I think if they get Zion, like that will generate a lot of local interest, because that dude is just gonna be like, he's gonna be like must watch television. Like if they
Sure.
get him, let's say they just get like another top three level talent, like RJ Barrett or someone who's good but doesn't have like that Zion wow factor. Let's say they make like a good coaching hire. Let's say Kevin's back. Let's say Sexton is like they bring like a similar team back with a new young piece and a new coach and everything. What would it take, do you think, for them to like I think capitalize on like a very increased general overall interest in the in basketball in general as a sport amongst people now, just more popular than baseball now. It's not as popular as
Sure.
football, but like football is just like absurd. If it were to like what could make it like the number two? Like I think if they're like next year just competent, play a little bit of more of a fun style, have a good rookie, Sexton makes a stride. I think there's like a map there for them to like not have this be as bad as the time before, when really they just lucked out in like getting Kyrie and Tristan and stuff. And even then they almost botched it, right? Like they
Yeah.
almost blew that up incorrectly. But I think there is a path there if they do this next 8 months right, where they can at least be respectable in a way they just aren't on January 6th.
Yeah, I think Kevin's got to come back. I mean, as obviously he will, but
Well,
and
so if they traded him, would you like punt? Like, I think it's very possible, like, come late July, when the free agency market settles, if a team misses out on a star, that they like freak out and trade for Kevin Love. If they did that and like just go full in on youth, would that push? I think that would push a lot of people away.
I do too. I mean, I think what Kevin Love represents right now is the ability to win games. I know I came on this podcast last time and said that I thought that they were a playoff team, which I think is as ridiculous probably as my Greg Williams comment earlier in this show. But But I do think that's what Kevin Love represents, is at least going to the arena and maybe being able to see a win. And so I completely agree. It might be the smart move, but I think it would not be a fan favorite move to get rid of Kevin Love at all.
I don't think you could either. Like, I think, like, the Delly trade made sense because, like, not only did it was a good, I think, like, trade in a vacuum to flip George Hill, but, like, Delly, like, gets huge pops. Nance, I think, is a guy that, like, draws attention. I think they're doing a good – the Friday night, what they did is, like, to get Jetty on the Tumblr and to do this really cool video of him was, like, a smart, like, marketing thing. I think they need Kevin. Like, I really think they need Kevin to, like, be an all-star level player. For Tristan, I think, to be around, I think, helps too. And I think, but I also think they need to play a more fun style of basketball. Like, they are not, like, they don't shoot a lot of threes. Like, they don't play, like, a defense or anything like that. There's not, like, an identity to the team. And some of that is just, like, post-LeBron and all the injuries they've had. It's hard to do that. I think, like, they need Kevin, and I think they need an identity if they're going to, like, matter in the city again. Because I do think there is, like, a opportunity there for them to, like, really cement themselves. The All-Star Game's coming. The arena's going to be renovated. It'll be, like, super depressing if, like, they have this brand new cleaned up arena and they're just garbage, and, like, it'll be even harder to, like, justify how that was done, right? Like, there's just something really odd, like, bad vibe around that if they're just, like, putting together a crap product in that environment.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I do have to say, since they've gotten some of those glass panels up and stuff, I can envision what the arena is going to look like, and it is going to look pretty sweet.
It is.
I don't know if the means justify the ends, but it is going to look pretty sweet. But yeah, no, I think you're 100% on track. But the thing is, what you got Sexton shooting like 30% in the past couple of games, like. Do they have? They have to have the talent to play a more exciting brand of basketball, and I don't know that they're going to have that anytime soon.
Let me wrap it up on this. Who is your right now? You look at the roster. You look at the who you've watched and stuff. Who's like the guy in the team you actually like find endearing? Aside from Kevin Love, aside from Tristan, who I think, and aside from Nance, because we've already kind of talked a bunch about him. But if you're looking at the others on the roster, the non. Let's call them the big three in this regard. Who do you find endearing that's actually, like, interesting to you?
Sure. I mean, endearing's a funny word because, you know, basketball-wise, it's tough to say. I mean, Colin Sexton's got to be up there. You know, he right now feels like a guy – he feels like a kid kind of thrown into something I don't know that he was 100% ready for. Like – I don't mean that as a basketball thing. His confidence just seems low lately, which I think anyone on this team would probably, you know, be justified in feeling a little bit of a lack of confidence. But you know, I think he definitely has the skill, and he's exciting and stuff like that. He's so young, 20 years old. You gotta hope that he can, you know. Get his sea legs a little bit and turn around. So I think he's got to be the guy that I'm most excited for. And then, you know, Chetty, if we're talking endearing, he has a very, like, Matthew Dellavedova vibe to him. And I don't know if it's just, like, the awkward white guy thing. But, yeah, I think he's got some endearing qualities to him as well. I mean, the Matthew Dellavedova thing, too, it's just in hustle. I think we're a town that certainly, you know, likes to see a little hustle in our players. That's an endearing quality for us. So those are probably my big two right now.
Yeah, I would say, for me, it's like I love David Nwaba because he just actually knows how to play defense. And he's like the one guy on the team that knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I know you're high on him. I like him too. Yeah, he's great. And then, you know, obviously, anytime I can throw Nante Zizic.
Yeah.
I know he's not on the floor right now, but
apparently a big friend of a fan of a crepe place in Willoughby that co-friend of ours Jason Brill like saw him at. So good for Nante Zizic eating crepes.
Crepes in the city. It's a good spot. I've enjoyed a crepe or two there. Yeah. After and then head over to one of my favorite pubs in town, Malarkey's, right across the street.
Crepes and beer. What else more do you need? You can find Dylan on Twitter at Dillstew. Again, go pick up Cleveland Magazine. Click the link in the bio to read the Larry Nance, or click the link in the show notes to read the Larry Nance Most Interesting Person profile. But go get the print magazine and subscribe. It's a great publication. You will not regret it. Dylan, as always, thanks so much, man. And hopefully the Browns will like hire head coach this week, and we can all just like talk about that instead of the garbage that's going on here.
Yeah, I'm very ready for. I'm not a guy who likes to watch the day-to-day rumors go up. I want to know who my coach is. I want to get him in the room with Baker and get him to work.
Yeah. Everything out. Baker Mayfield is the Brown. I suggested this. The Browns should really, the Cavs, excuse me, should just play Baker Mayfield touchdown passes and Zion Williams highlight tapes at games when things go really bad. That's my suggestion.
It's a genius move. You know, I think they should give Baker, you know, a courtside seat for any game he wants to come to, too.
Yeah, I wonder how many he would actually come to. Probably not many. If I were him, I'd be like, I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna do something more fun with my time. But again, find Dill on Twitter at DillStew. Check out Cleveland Magazine, and we'll be back tomorrow. The Cavs play the Pacers on Tuesday. We'll have a preview up as well as a conversation with a guest I'm really excited about to preview Cavs Pacers and what the Cavs could learn from the Pacers. And then this week, we'll hopefully see a more competent basketball team before they head out west for that a daunting road trip. But this has been Locked On Cavaliers for Monday, January 7th. I'm Chris Manning. We'll talk to you tomorrow.